Everybody, welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham, Dr. Dave Stoop, and this is the real tax day. I got it wrong the other day. It says the 15th. This year's the 18th. So we're going to pay those taxes today. Glad you're with us. 1-800-229-3000 is the phone number.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on?
My question is in regards to my son, who's 13 years old. He has gotten involved in some pornography.
We basically had a relationship of fighting over everything.
There's no doubt in my mind that God used that time.
There's a red flag when somebody's only got two friends, okay? So number one, that would cause a question.
Why did you set yourself up for that so early? The baby's not even out of the womb yet.
You know, you take kids 14, and they are just right in the midst of when they need a dad the most.
I started out there, and I've recovered very strongly from that position. But
there was an AA, Anxious Anonymous.
I would have been the star poster child for it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Not only is this tax day, but this is the beginning of Holy Week.
It's Monday.
What does that mean to you, Holy Week? Do you do anything different or special?
I should.
You should. So you feel guiltier during Holy Week?
No, it's not guilt. It's more, you know, I wish that I had the discipline to create some meaningful traditions for myself. I didn't grow up in a tradition that did anything.
No, neither did I.
So, you know, I just really, I try to slow down and really do some reading that relates to it more. But I'd wish I had more traditions that were related to the week.
Sherry, you do anything?
Well, I usually take it upon myself to watch a DVD, like a Jesus of Nazareth or something that kind of helps, for me, pull me into that emotional part of what the season is all about. And just kind of the suffering. And also the amazing fact that Jesus conquered death. I mean, I just got a video last weekend and I was watching it. It was like a 50-minute video. And by the end of the video, I was like, we have an amazing Savior.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just...
Well, I'll tell you, the Mel Gibson's The Passion was the film that really helped me get in touch with the suffering.
Yeah.
I have never seen that. Maybe I should watch it.
You should. If you need it, I'll bring my copy for you. It's powerful, and you know, you've got to be in a state of mind to see it, because it really does rock your world. But you know, to see all that he went through just for us is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if I, you know, I've been reading this book about Louis Zamperini, you know, and he was a prisoner of war during World War II, and it's unbroken. It's on the bestseller list. Neat Christian story, by the way. Yeah. But there's a lot of gross stuff, and I was warned, so I skipped over that. So
Are you fragile, Dave?
I guess I am. At my age, you know, you get fragile. So.
Don't skip this time. I'll bring a DVD over to your office and share with you. So it's pretty powerful.
Well, it is amazing, and it is the difference in the Christian faith and any other faith, where every other faith you're trying to get it right, be the good person, go after God, find God. And then in the Christian faith, we realize that the real God of the universe is trying to find us, reaching out to us. And one of the best stories of this is a Jewish woman who faithfully listened to our program for years and finally heard us say, if you want God in your life, ask him to make himself known. And of course, he does this in different ways, different times. And on this time, in her bedroom that night, the light began to shine, the room became warm, and she ended up asking herself, as she saw this vision of Jesus, what is Jesus Christ doing in the bedroom of a Jewish woman?
And he said, I was born in one.
And she accepted Christ that night. I don't know if that's the way Christ would show up in your life, but I do believe this. Every other religion, and I've studied every one of them, unless it's some weird thing that seven people created, none of them get me to heaven except for Jesus Christ. I can't make it. I'm not good enough. I don't have it in me. But Christ allows me to come.
And none of them have a loving person at the core of it.
That's right.
It's always judgmental.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We'll be back.
The my clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would picket my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuta that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're going to go to Pasadena, and we're going to talk with Louise. No, we're going to talk to Carol from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. We'll talk to Louise next. Hello there.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help you, Carol?
My goodness, y'all have me crying with tears of joy already with your introduction. Anyway.
Well, how could we help?
My question is, I'm a grandmother of a 17-year-old boy, and he lives in Tennessee. His life has been hard all the way up through. But back in October last year, he and his 16-year-old girlfriend, he was 16 too, they got married at the courthouse.
Oh, wow.
No children involved. Totally in love. But since they got married, there's been trouble. He was smoking pot, still is. They've since separated, not divorced, but separated. In January of this year, he was drugged and raped. The man was caught, went to jail, suffered. He's since bonded out, and there's a grand jury hearing, I believe it's June 20th.
Mm.
Wow.
Since this has happened to my grandson, he has turned away from God and his family.
Yeah, okay.
I think that happened like on a Friday. He went to church actually that Sunday, and he hasn't gone back since.
Okay, how could we help you then, as his grandmother?
Well,
how could we help you?
I want to know, as his grandmother, I want some advice on, what my role is. I'll be down there for an extended period. I'm leaving tomorrow. I'll be there through almost the end of June. He has a good relationship with me, unless we try to talk about problems. Then he totally shuts down. He won't talk to anyone. He will not counsel. They advised counseling, of course. He said he would, but he will not. And since he got married in the state of Tennessee, he's a full-fledged adult. Mm. And he has been arrested a couple of times in the last month, one for possession, marijuana, and another for domestic violence. Mm.
So your role then would be, I'll give you three T's. You tell him the truth, give him the truth about his situation, the truth about God and how God has been there for him, even though God doesn't prevent horrible things. Trust, you be the person that he knows he can trust to keep a secret, to that you're not going to reject him no matter what he tells you. And treatment, he needs to see the need that people that do drugs, it doesn't work out for them. It's not the way to go. It has never worked for anybody, and it always ends in tragedy. And so you tell him the truth, you help him to build trust in you more, and you try to get him some help, get him the treatment that he needs. Dave, Sherry, what do you think she should do with this grandson who's really, really having a rough time?
Well, the part I'm thinking about, Carol, is you want to be the accepting, loving person in his life that says, you know, no matter what you do, you know, I'm here for you. You can't ever get rid of me out of your life, no matter how bad things get. That I think that's what a grandparent is. I'm a grandparent, and that's what I try to be with my grandkids. And I want to be there. I want to be part of their lives, and I want to be the one that, if everybody else rejects them and moves away from them, I'm the one that is there that they can count on. And that's what I think you want to be to him. So listen to him, no judgment, no condemnation, and then be Jesus to him, basically.
Yeah.
And I think I think the other piece of information, Carol, because I would echo what both of these men said, is an understanding on how that event actually just fired up his brain. He's using the marijuana to self-medicate. So his brain just got fired up. It's way too much blood's flowing in there. It's hot. And so he can't really stop it. When he's trying to sleep at night, it's spinning. It's just, so he uses the marijuana to try to calm down. But it also shuts off parts of his brain. It's toxic for the brain. So he needs some help. As Steve talked about treatment, sometimes people don't understand that actually horrific events like that, when he was drugged and raped, actually changed him biologically. And so part of helping him get the help is taking care of himself, because he'll keep using. I hate to tell you this, but he's going to keep using until he gets help for himself. And it's just going to get uglier.
Okay.
You know?
Biggest thing, though, be Jesus to him.
Yep.
Love, accept, but try to guide.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad you called. And let me send you a copy of Every Young Man, God's Man. Maybe he'll read that. Maybe it will be of help to him. I sure hope so.
You know, I was going to think, when you said be Jesus, you know.
Dave said that.
Oh. Well, you said it, too.
Did I say it first?
No, I said it first.
Okay.
And I thought about it, but I didn't have to say it because both of you did. You know, it's amazing, because when we lead with that, when we lead with love, when we lead with compassion, when we lead with, I'm here because I love you.
Yeah.
In that bonding of that love, we can slip in the truth. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
People can hear it
sure.
when they know that we're love first.
That's right.
And we're not just there to try to change them. We really lead with love and be Jesus.
Amen.
They can take the hard pill from us.
You know, I read recently a testimony of someone who became a believer that really it threw me a curve, but it relates to what you just said. They grew up as an atheist. Their father was a professor of religion and was into Buddhism and humanism, and that's where she was involved. And she said, if somebody came to me and said, you know, Jesus loves you and he died for your sins and you can be forgiven, she said, it wouldn't have even registered with me, because I had no concept of sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she said, you know, I'm shortening it. She started reading the Gospels and fell in love with Jesus and his love, and then became a part of a community where it was all based, you know, on her love of Jesus.
Yeah.
And gradually in that process, she understood what sin was and got to that. But she said, if someone had come up to me at the beginning and told me how much God loved me and how much Jesus loved me, I would have listened to that.
Yeah.
But if you came and told me I was a sinner, see, so what's the truth that we want to slip out? You know, I think we underestimate the converting power of God's love.
Yeah.
But it has to be experienced through someone. So I think, Carol, if you can love him like Jesus loves him, wow.
Amen.
Watch what happens.
Yeah.
All right. Glad you called. We have a marriage weekend coming up, and I would like to for you to hear from someone who attended one of our New Life weekends. If you have a marriage, it needs some help. I don't know of anything. This is from the bottom of my heart, the top of my brain. I don't know of anything that could be more helpful than the New Life Marriage Weekend. Listen to this.
We are part of the Marriage Rescue. Well, we are the Marriage Rescue Group. And we really have grown close the last 3 days. So my marriage needed a lot of rescuing. Coming here, actually before even getting here, we had a major crisis. I didn't know if we were going to be together at all anymore. And Larry reached out, you know, thank you, Larry, for just going out of your way to get us here. He just said, just come. I'm so grateful that we did, because we've had moments of connection this weekend that we've never even come close to before. I'm going home with a renewed commitment to love my wife and just cherish her, and realizing the way that I was loving before wasn't really Christ-like love. So it's really restored our relationship. I didn't think that that could happen in a matter of just this time that we've been here, but it has. So thank you again for reaching out.
I'm telling you, it changes things. People end up going the opposite direction they were. And folks that thought they could never forgive each other end up loving each other again. If you want to experience it, especially if you're thinking nothing can help, do this. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number to call. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. All right, let's go back to the phones. And I would like to talk with Matt, who's calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Listens on WORD. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Hello, Steve. Good. How are you?
Great.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate you guys.
Sure.
Just awesome, awesome ministry.
Thank you. Have you been part of our ministry for very long?
Yeah, I've been a supporter for a long time and been a listener for a long time, so I love you all.
Well, thank you. Thank
Back
you.
At you.
Thank you.
Well, how could we help?
Well, I don't know if you remember, I called you guys several weeks ago about my stepdaughter, who was engaged to a fellow who wanted to have his old girlfriend as the best man.
Mm-hmm. I remember that servant. Call. I do remember that, yeah.
I got her to go to a New Life weekend called the Counseling Line, talked to a really neat lady, Pamela.
Mm-hmm.
And we prayed together. It didn't look like it was going to happen. And then the hand of God moved. Some things changed, and she was able to go. She went to New Life Weekend, gained a lot from it. The engagement and everything is off. The relationship is pretty much done, unless this young man does some serious work. But my question for you is, she's been going to a counselor. She's living with us right now. And she was just diagnosed with pretty serious depression.
Okay.
I would like to try to do whatever I can to help her out of the
sure.
depression. We're going to probably be starting with what the counselor recommended is a little more natural way, which is St. John's Wort. If that doesn't work, we're going to introduce her to something prescription.
Okay. Is she going to a licensed clinical psychologist?
Yeah, she
okay.
is.
All right. Okay.
And that was they left that up to us, and we're going to try that first. Please give me any feedback on that too. But I was looking at some things that I know, good exercise, things like that.
Yeah.
Helps with endorphin, which can
sure.
And she is an outdoorsy girl. She does like to spend time hiking, and she okay. would not be at all opposed to a gym membership.
Okay, what's the question for us then?
Resources to help her climb out of this depression.
Mm.
Give me some good advice on this.
Well, is this a long-standing depression that's been identified?
No,
this more situational.
She's probably been down. I don't know what the qualifier for long term would be, but I would say she's been down for probably a few months.
Okay, my concern is that a lot of the prescription medications aren't going to do much for that short term. What she needs to do is to grieve, because I think her depression is a part of the grieving over the loss of this marriage, this relationship, and even though she sees it now for what it is, it's still a loss, because the loss is partly just the realization that I was being duped by this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So allowing her to be angry about it and to
yeah.
cry over things, those are things. So I'd keep her yeah. talking about what she's experiencing in the loss of all that that relationship represented.
And I wouldn't use the term climb out of this depression because she may be at a place where she can't climb.
But if she grieves, she'll move out of it.
Right. But just that whole climbing thing can give them the feeling of I'm too weak, I can't ever recover. But I do believe that if it's severe, that you should. I mean, I was getting an email from someone the other day said God spoke to them and said maybe the help that you want is through medication. And so if the St. John's wort doesn't work, I just wouldn't feel bad if that's what it took for a little while for her to get out of it. I wouldn't shame her in any way. But the biggest antidepressant is a person's consistent love, affirmation, connection. It sounds like that you're that kind of person, so I'm glad that you're in her life. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right. Really glad Matt called us. I said I'd go to Louise, and here we go. Louise from Pasadena. KKLA is the station. Hi there.
Hi. First, I want to say thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And I want to say that you are truly the blessings for not just me, but for many, many people. And I've suggested to so many people to listen to you that they've received such grace from you that I wanted to make sure I told you that.
Well, take your time. Don't get to your question. Just continue on this line of the talk there. That's good.
We love it.
You are a blessing.
Thank you.
This is my question. I've been separated for almost 6 years, and I've been in Christian counseling, and my therapist says that the problem that my husband and I have, it wouldn't have mattered who he married. It's him. He's severely damaged from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And she said if he's not back by now that, you know, he's never going to come back. And I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, I still love him. I don't want to divorce. And so I'm looking to you for guidance.
Well, tell us where he is and what he's doing.
Well, he moved out. We've been married 35 years, and he moved out. He had an affair for 2 years, and that ended. And during the time he moved out, when he left me, he moved in with his mother. And she has since passed away almost a year ago. Mm-hmm. And during that time in counseling, we were going, first I was going by myself, and then he started going with me after the two-year affair ended. And then he started going the last almost a year and a half by himself. And in that, it's come up that he's very angry at me. He transposed a lot of things that occurred to him when he was growing up onto me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very civil. He's continued to financially support me. He talks to me. You know, he'll come in and out of my life. But I don't, and I know now he's really working hard on himself. He's said that because I asked him about a month ago that, you know, I didn't know what my role is. We have grown children that are married and grandchildren. And I said, I don't know what I am to you. I don't feel like a wife. I'm not a friend. What am I? And his answer was, I have to work on myself before I can even think about you.
Okay.
I have to work on myself.
What's the question for us then?
So because she said that, you know, if he was going to come back by now, he would have, that I need to, you know, move on completely. I don't know what I should do. Do I give up on him completely?
What do you think, Dave? Reacting here,
Louise. Let me tell you something different. This is what I would tell you to do. Somehow you've got to clarify the relationship with him, and you know, he says I got to work on me. Say fine, okay. But you need a friend while you do that. So can we at least start with rebuilding our friendship, which means that we start to do some things together? I mean, if you don't do anything together, there's nothing happening between you, then it's true. Nothing. He's probably not going to come back. He's very self-absorbed now. But say, can we go to a movie together? Can we have dinner together maybe once a week or once every other week? Can we just do something like you would do with a friend?
Let's level of connection other than I write you a check.
That's
or
right.
I see you every now and then and say hello.
And I would do it on the basis, hey, we've got 35 years of history. We've got kids. We've got grandkids together. So let's at least try to reestablish some friendship. That's where I would go with you on that, Louise. I wouldn't say walk away at this point because you've got too much history. And, you know, he's not doing anything, anything in terms of being abusive or anything like that.
Yeah.
I just want to ramp it up just a tiny bit to where you're friends.
Yeah, you don't want to continue just like you are, though.
No,
see,
no,
that
uh-uh.
then, or you'll just stay like you are. So
you'll be the phantom mom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to get out of that phantom mom role. Because he went home to live with Mom, and now Mom is no longer here.
Mom, who probably was the one that caused that original damage there.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See?
Absolutely.
And so he's frightened of you. No need to be, right? But it's his own stuff. But he keeps you distance and yet doesn't want you to completely go away. So it puts you in a really ambivalent situation with him.
So here's the worst case scenario, Louise. You just kind of have dinner every couple of weeks for the rest of your life. I mean, at least you're having something. Best case scenario, you know, you start having dinner every couple of weeks. You go to a movie together. Then you start doing some other things together. And then before long, you know, maybe you start to build a little more into the relationship. But you got to have something happening.
When you think about where he is, think about a person who has a very, very mean boss. And they have to go live with them. I mean, how would you feel
now
about
he's got to recover from that, too.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say she was abusive. He put on weight, and she started calling him a walrus.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God.
And
he was old, and he was never going to amount to anything.
And just imagine what he feels like inside, having endured that, having to subject himself to that.
He needs a friend who thinks highly of him.
Yeah.
That's what I'd want to be.
And I can become his friend. And she says if I invite him to dinner, if I invite him to do things, that he's using me. Is that the case?
No. You tell him, hey, it's my choice. I won't let you use me. I want to be your friend. I want to be your support while you're going through this healing process.
And you hear Dave's worst case is that you end up going to dinner with him a couple of times a month. That's your worst case. The best case is he feels encouraged and starting to regain his manhood, work some things out in counseling and maybe a recovery group. and then you guys can get back together. But you need connection. You need to up the connection a little bit. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. I'm going to send you, what can I send her? Well, we'll send it after this.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me. But if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right. We're back. A couple of things. If you listen on XM or Sirius Satellite Radio, in 2 days, we go to station 131 on both. It'll be less confusing. One, you're the one for us. Three, the Trinity. And one, we're the one for you. Okay? That's
well,
131.
I say it's Arterburn. It's the crew, the three of us, and then it's back, but it's always back to Artemis.
All right. Well, thank you, Dave.
He's the host. We're only the co-host.
All right. I have to read you this letter.
Host
it says, I listen on the radio from 1 to 2 every day while I'm eating. I pray for you people. I love you, and I'm sending you $5 a month. It's all I have, but the Lord said, Sarah, you can't do everything, but you can do something. No gift is too small. It is the accumulation of small gifts that keeps us going like we are. And the large ones, too. But we've got a foundation of small givers. So please, if the Lord is leading you, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say you want to be part of our giving family. All right, let's go over here to Jennifer from Des Moines, Iowa, the city where Fred Stoker, the co-author with me of, well, he's actually the originator of all of those Every Man's Battle books. Say hi to Fred for me, Jennifer. How are you?
I am well. Thank you so much, and the blessings of Jesus Christ to you all today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I just wanted to say to Mr. Arterburn, when I first started my journey with Christ, the first book that I received from a friend of mine was Healing is a Choice, and I just want to thank you so much for letting God guide you in writing this book It started my journey that has just become, over the last 5 years, just amazing, and it really just set me on the right path. And so, Mr. Arterburn, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Wow. God bless you for that. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Okay, well, I do have a question for you. I have just returned into the dating world after a 5.5-year sabbatical. And I want to know if there are any signs or red flags that point to someone who abuses pornography.
Okay. So this is somebody you're dating now or just potentially?
It is an issue that I struggled with about almost 6 years ago. I ended a relationship with a man. We'd been together for 3.5 years. It was a non-biblical relationship. It was a sinful relationship. We lived together for about, 3 years of that 3.5 years we were together. And he abused pornography, and it was something that I ended up getting brought into, and it was unwilling, but it was my choice to please him. It was degrading, and it was horrible, and I personally destroyed myself because of my low self-esteem. That kind of, I'd already had low self-esteem, but then this brought more into that, and I took it in with food and abused my body and took it very personally. So once I ended that relationship, I took a firm stance of no sex before marriage, no living together, no pornography, got rid of what I had that he had purchased for me, destroyed it, and have lived a chaste life since.
Okay.
So
I have a way of detecting 90% of pornography usage.
Okay, great.
Ready?
Yes.
You ask the person, the man, have you seen this year's edition of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition?
Okay.
Not with a frown on your face, not like you're judgmental about it, but you ask, have you seen it?
Okay.
And if the guy says yes, then you ask the question, is that the only kind of pornographic magazine you ever look at?
Okay, that's perfect.
Most guys, when you ask them if they look at the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, they think that it's their right to do that, that it's okay. And I challenge men to just test your character and see if you have to look and if you have to pick that magazine up and look inside.
Okay.
Because
okay, great.
It doesn't mean a guy's a sex addict that picks it up. But it is a form of pornography.
Soft core.
It's like the marijuana, the heroin thing. It's viewed the way Playboy used to be viewed. It's not
light.
That bad, you know. But I really believe it is a marker of the heart and of integrity and character when a man says, it is my right at age 47 to pick up this magazine full of 16 to 18-year-old looking women who are unclothed and to do whatever. What do you think, Sherry?
Well, I kind of, it's interesting that you say that, Steve, because Jennifer, I also, when you said 5.5 year sabbatical, I thought, ooh, there was something really painful on the other side of that. And so it takes some time to repair, and I'm really proud of you, and I'm glad you're back out there. Mm-hmm. I want to just share a little piece of my heart and story with you. Is I was married to a sex addict, and so as somebody who has had to, who was wounded, and who is also now single and having to go back out there into this big world and learn how to trust again, one of the conversations I have probably around date 3. Is I just disclose a little bit of my past, and I actually ask them the question.
Really good.
And I just say, you know what? I say, I was painfully wounded in this situation, and I have learned a lot about it. And if it's an area that you struggle with, I am not going to be a good choice for you. I would not be a good partner. It's just not a place that I want to go. And so I have had guys actually just be really honest with me and go, you know what? It is an area that I struggle with. And we have a good conversation, and we caringly part ways.
And then you refer them. Man's bell.
Yeah. We have a place for you.
And then I have other guys that go, hey, you know what? That is not something that I struggle with. And as a woman, I have found that there are men who don't struggle with it. But I have to be responsible to ask the question. Mm-hmm. And I just share a piece of my story.
I
put it out there right on the front side of the relationship.
And like, Jennifer, you got a story. So
you can use that method. Yeah. That's better than the Sports Illustrated litmus test.
Well, you can also do the Sports Illustrated as a way to introduce the subject.
Yeah.
But you can also do it by just sharing your own story, and that's probably the more authentic
way. Now, Dave, I'm going to take a risk here. When's the last time you looked at a Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition magazine?
I've never looked at it.
See there?
I see the cover when it's in the store, but I've never
picked
one up.
Yeah, you can't miss. They're everywhere, the covers.
Yeah.
But I don't pick them up. I don't look through that. You don't have to. I mean, it's just I'm just saying this for me. I'm not bragging. I'm giving you a goal of integrity and character to leave those children alone.
Well, even if they weren't children, if they were 25-year-olds.
Right. It's objectification of women.
Yeah, and I've never picked one up.
Someone's daughter, that's someone's wife, mm-hmm. or someone's potential wife. All right. Well, enough said there. Okay. If your small group is meeting and it's a New Life support group or a Lose It for Life or Healing is a Choice group, would you call us and let us get you on the website so we can tell other people about your group? You just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Ryan, and he will help you with your very own group. And before we go to our next call, I want to play you something when we were over in Israel from the Dead Sea, because we're going to Israel June the 6th. So watch this, and we'll talk about our trip to Israel from the Dead Sea. We're here at the Dead Sea, and all my life I've heard how dead it was, and I think I've heard every devotional possible on that Dead Sea and no water going out and coming in and all of that. I've also heard how fun that it is. Is it fun, Joe? Joe Franklin says it's fun. But what I never counted on, what I never thought, was how beautiful it is. This is one beautiful sea. I hope you'll come see it. June 2011. Come experience New Life in the Holy Land. All right. Well, you can still get on board. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
That was never a place that was at the top of my list to go.
Yeah.
Israel, because I love to travel. I went there, and it would be at the top of my list now, because it is just such an incredible experience.
I wish we weren't taking a tour. I wish we were just going and hanging out in Israel.
Mm.
You know, I just think
that would be the cool thing.
Yeah. You just spend the day at the Sermon on the Mount location. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to go to Mary, but we'll go to Mary right after this break. You're listening to New Life Live. We have 900-plus counselors around this country that would love to help you if you just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we've got workshops coming up, the Marriage Weekend in May. Please come, Mylon and Kay, Dave and Jan. I'll be there talking about the five walls we got to knock down to build intimacy in marriage. It's going to be a great time. We have Lose It for Life. Sherry's going to be doing Wives in the Battle. We've got a transformation weekend. There's something for you. If you're stuck, we'll help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylon Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. Out of these ashes.
If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. I said I'd go to Mary from Washington, D.C., and hello, Mary. Welcome to New Life Live. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How could we help you?
Well, I've been seeing a Christian counselor now for about a year and a half, and mm-hmm. she's amazing, and she's helped me tremendously. But I've been struggling with an issue where I wanted to, I've been separated from my husband for a couple of years, and I felt that God was calling me to actually try to reconcile with
mm-hmm.
my husband.
Yeah.
So I had talked to her about this. We've been talking about it for quite a while, and she said, you know, I'd wait. I don't really think it's the right time to do it. Well, my pastor felt differently and encouraged me to do it, and so I did. Shockingly, my husband said, gosh, I wish you had come to talk to me several months ago about this because my life is a little bit changed now, and, you know, several months ago probably would have been a lot easier for me to make a decision about this. So what I'm struggling with and my question to you is, do I confront my counselor and say, hey, this is what my husband said. I'm a little bit concerned that maybe we're not connecting anymore on what I need, or should I just go ahead and get another Christian counselor?
What do you think, Christian counselors? What should she do?
I would tell her. I mean, you can't really blame her for not doing it, but she wasn't really listening to you, to your heart, I don't think. But I would tell her, and then if you can work it out, work it out. If not, then find somebody else. But don't just leave and go somewhere else. It's good to bring closure.
Well, and it sounds like, you know, that there you walk a really fine line as a therapist because you really don't want to tell people what to do, right? In cases, you want to help them come to their own conclusions. So I'm wondering why she was saying, wait. Was there something going on or?
I wouldn't say there was necessarily something going on, but he had been pretty adamant about not wanting to reconcile at any point. We still communicate, but
okay.
And that she knew, but because he has some issues with intimacy issues and getting close and that kind of thing.
Okay,
but,
so because Mary, when you said that, he said, "Well, if you would have talked to me several months ago," I mean that. I have to tell you, my bristles on the back of my neck rose up because I thought, what's that? I mean, yeah. I wish you would have talked to me a few months ago. I mean, here you are coming to him in your vulnerability. And I don't care what the timetable was on the clock, but he's already kind of giving you some ambivalent answer where he's really not owning his part. He's kind of like, well, if you would have done this several months ago,
why didn't you talk to me several months?
Yeah.
It was an unhealthy response.
You're right about that, but I honestly want to say that was really taken out of context. I mean, there was a whole bunch of stuff that happened during that conversation. So I think it was more, I don't want it to sound like that. It was more, you know, he was just, you know, very, he was very humbled, and he said, I wish you had come and talked to me sooner. And I, you know, said, why? And then he proceeded to explain some other things to me that I hadn't known. And he said, I had no idea. If I had thought so, you know, and I think that was the other thing. He said, you know, I have no idea. You never said a word about this at all. And so.
Did the other things involve another woman?
Yes.
Okay. So that's where you're feeling the hurt right now, is here you're going, my gosh, if my therapist would have told me to stay connected, he may not have had an affair. In the midst of our separation, right?
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Right. And I do feel that. I'm not going to say that I don't. And I'm not angry at her because she has taken me to an amazing place. And so I can't fault her. But yes, I guess I'm feeling some of that. And I don't want to feel this. And I want to resolve this. I really, really do.
I get it.
But I want to make sure that I resolve it correctly. And
I get it.
I don't want to offend her, but I also don't want to pretend that this isn't bothering me because it
but
is bothering me.
But you realize you've got anger on two counts. you've got anger at your husband, who's mm-hmm. still your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Even though you're separated, he's still legally your husband, and he just
yes.
got into an affair. You're
yes.
angry about that. And
I
you're
am.
Angry at your therapist because she didn't see that. She didn't know that, and she told you to wait. And so do you see how there's a lot of anger right now and hurt because you didn't know. She didn't know.
And thirdly, you're probably angry at yourself because you listened to your counselor and didn't listen to your own heart.
And fourthly, you may be asking, where is God in all this? Why didn't
Well, I have. And honestly, you're correct to all of the things that
yes.
you're saying. Absolutely. I think... I have to say, though, I told her I kind of suspected something,
mm-hmm.
and she said, do you have proof? And I said, no, not really. You know, it's just kind of, you know, this woman thing that we have that we kind of suspect because
yeah.
of conversations he and I were having. And she said, well, I wouldn't go down that path if I were you. You know, let's not, you know, go there.
Yeah.
Let's just address what you know and how we can handle it. And she said, you know, I think he's not ready for you to come talk to him about this yet, so... You know, and I did keep praying, and I kept saying, God, and God was telling me to go. I know he was. And I think that's part of the reason why I went to see my pastor, because it's not that I didn't
right.
believe my counselor, but I was
right.
struggling, you know, with both of that.
Well, I think the main thing here is what do you do next? And what you do next is you go to your counselor and you say, here's my concern. Here's why I called a radio show to talk about this. That's your first
yeah.
step, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice. I hope you'll...
Thank you.
You'll like that. I think it'll be helpful to you in this situation.
You know, I try never to give advice, and I obviously do, but I try to be so careful with it. But I just hope that people will realize that a counselor is just a counselor,
yeah,
a facilitator,
yeah.
and what they say needs to be weighed against what you're really believing and feeling,
mm-hmm.
and don't go against yourself.
Yeah. That's right. Well, I want to remind everybody, if you're in the Indianapolis area, I'll be preaching May the 10th, but every Sunday at 6 o'clock, the New Life Transformation Center is right there, and we're having a meeting every Sunday at 6. Everybody's invited, and you'll hear a great speaker, hopefully. I also want to mention that this is Tax Day, where you give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but don't forget to give unto God what is God's. And maybe God's saying that one way to do that is to support New Life, because we're trying to bring healing and transformation to people's lives. And if God is nudging you, listen to God. Listen for his direction, and please respond. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you can help us. And also 1-800-NEW-LIFE if we can help you. You call and ask about counseling. We can help you there, or one of our weekend experiences. I think it really could change your life. Speaking of listening to God, the 81st Psalm says, oh, that my people would listen to me. That's from God. And I really believe that God can speak to you. Now, that's a very supernatural thing that would happen, that the creator of this massive universe of 100 billion galaxies plus, that just boggles the mind, that God would take the time to speak to you and bring you to him. But if God can make a son, like, you know, the big son, then God can speak to you. If God can make a universe, God can speak to you, and he wants to. So let's be open. Let's ask God, speak to me. Help me know what to do. Help me to see your hands in my life. Help me to come to understand your truth through your word. And I believe God will honor that request. Open your heart to hearing God this week. My thanks to Dr. Dave Stoop. Dave, you're a great counselor, even though you don't give advice. And Dr. Sherry Denham, we appreciate both of you. All of us do. And to all of you that watch, listen, support us, tell other people to do that, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. We love getting to be here. We always struggle with finances, but we just believe that it's a great privilege that we get to do this every day, and we'll do anything we can to be able to do it tomorrow. So thank you. God bless you. Hope the tax situation isn't too tough on you this year. And God bless you. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.